Thankful to come back to Texas and to have a place to call home, have a place where we feel loved and welcomed. And so it's great to see all your faces today and to catch up a little bit. If you don't know who we are or what we do, we're church planters in a city called Gdańsk, Poland. And so actually last week we celebrated our 10th year of being in Poland. We celebrated it by not being in Poland, by being back here. But we've been there about 10 years. So 10 years ago, we moved to Poland. There was a team of six of us, and we got on a plane, and we flew there with a couple bags each. And no one was there at the airport to greet us. No one was there to pick us up. No one was waiting on us. We were really starting from scratch. And that first year or two, we spent learning the language, forming some relationships. And about 2 years later, in 2011, we started Gospel Church. And slowly over that time, we've seen the church grow. And I think the last time I was here a year ago, I shared that we were planting a Polish church. And so we launched that in October of last year. And they've been meeting twice a month. And by God's grace, that's going well. It has all of the struggles of a new church. I kind of laughed at that video we watched with that young church planner. He was saying all the right things, but you could kind of see in his eyes he was a bit over his head. And I can totally relate to that. The pastor, the Polish pastor Marcin, and our church plant can totally relate to that as well. But we're just extremely thankful for where God has the church right now. Right now, we're actually looking for a bigger location. Our current location is starting to feel a little tight. And so we've been praying and asking God to lead us to a potential new location as well. The summers are a great time for outreach for us. We had a church retreat in June. And then every year we have church on the beach. So if you don't know where Gdańsk, Poland is, it's right on the Baltic Sea. And so one Sunday a year we meet out there, worship. I share a little bit from God's word. But it's really just a time for people to come check us out, hear the gospel, and hopefully become involved with the church. And this past, I guess in the last month, we had a couple baptisms. And I just wanted to share briefly the story of one woman we baptized. It's a Polish woman named Maya, and she's a dentist. And she actually heard the gospel a few years ago. She was doing an internship in California. And in California, someone invited her to a church. There she heard the gospel, started growing, and started being involved in a Bible study. And so she shows up to Gospel Church a couple years ago. We start to meet, and she wanted to talk about baptism. Well, we didn't end up talking about baptism. What we really talked about was her struggling with the fact that she was living with her boyfriend. She knew that's not what God wanted, but she felt stuck. She didn't know how to get out of that relationship. She felt trapped. And so we kind of continued that conversation for the next year, and a few months ago, we met, and she said that God had led her to take the step of boldness. She had moved out and wanted to take that next step of baptism. So, we're so thankful for y'all's support, for y'all's prayer, and I just want to encourage you that God is working, and God is using this church to further his church across this world and throughout Poland. So this morning I want to read the scripture for us this morning. It comes from Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 20. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Exodus chapter 3, verses 20 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you, and brings to you the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out. You shall not bow down to their God, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you, and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hittites, or the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Would you pray for your own heart that you would pay careful attention to what God would say to you today? Would you pray for those around you, all of us, that we would be careful to do all that God commands us to do in this place? Now, would you pray for me, his servant, that he would give strength to my voice today, that simply he'd keep me from coughing and enable me to declare his glorious truths and his power for his glory. Jesus, we thank you for Clint and Missy, for Gospel Church, how you are spreading the story of Jesus across the continent of Europe and beginning in Gdańsk, and what you're wanting to do there, and how you have blessed them. And they've seen gospel change through Maya and others like her. Bless them in this time of refreshment and coming away to fulfill their needs and to remind them that they are not alone. We ask you humbly today, God, that you would speak to our hearts from this word in the book of Exodus, that we pay careful attention to what you're saying, not just today, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And so we would be opening your word so that we follow you alone, that we not compromise in this world that's constantly throwing temptation at us and giving us every opportunity to run from you. Because we know we're promised certain victory and blessing in Jesus Christ. That this world is not our home. That we're longing for a better, perfect, glorious place where you are. So speak, O Christ. Your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus, we all pray and say, Amen. So, in this series, we've been asking a question, and it's there on the screen. How can imperfect people get along? So that's what you've been waiting for. That's what we've been talking about. How can imperfect people get along? Here's the simple answer. They can't. Who can't? Just think about your own marriage. You were expecting that first year of bliss and excitement, and everything was going to work great, and then at some point, the wheels fell off. We can't get along because we're imperfect people, and we've seen that. We desperately need the power of God because we're prone to sin, to disobedience, and to hurt. All the way back in chapter 21, you can't enslave your fellow brothers. Now, that may not be a temptation for us to literally enslave others around us, but for them, God says you can't enslave your fellow brothers. Why not? Because God has released us from slavery. He set us free. You can't take things from others without cost. Why not? Because everything you have came from the Lord and belongs to Him. You're going to fall and make mistakes, and we need someone to rescue us again and again and again. We've been having a parenting class, and that's one of the things we've been emphasizing on Wednesday nights in our parenting class that's resonated with a lot of us, is that just like our kids, you can tell them to do something and say, "Never, I never, ever, ever want you to do this again." And 5 minutes later, they'll do the very thing that you told them not to do. Am I right? And so we expect God to do and treat us with grace, but then sometimes the ones, our closest neighbors, we don't treat our closest neighbors, our kids and our family, with the same grace that we expect from God. Because we do. We fail. We make promises to God on Sunday. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to read your word. I'm going to be faithful to obey it. I'm not going to go to those places anymore. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I'm not going to give in to those temptations, and we fall and we make mistakes and we become discouraged. Am I right? Okay, I'm the only one that falls and makes mistakes, so this message is for me. So there's a song in a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical named Carousel. So a woman's husband is tragically killed. She doesn't know how she can go on. She doesn't know how she'll make it. And her cousin begins to sing a song. You probably won't recognize it from Carousel. You probably recognize it from the Labor Day Telethon. Anybody remember the Labor Day Telethon? Remember the end of the show? What was the song that he would sing at the end of the song? So, "You'll Never Walk Alone." And it's been recorded by many people. When Nelson Mandela was speaking to a crowd of people in South Africa, the South Africans began to spontaneously sing this song in response to what he had said. And he looked at the person that was on the stage with him, and he said to her, "What is that song?" And she said, "It's a footballer song. Because if you were to go across the pond to England and they were to play a football game, a soccer game, they would begin to sing this before the soccer game started. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. Don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone." Somebody asked Jerry Lee Lewis why it was that he sang that song. There's a variety of answers that he gave at different points in life, but one of them that I liked the best was that there was one child had a very difficult time being able to walk because of the disease, and he asked Jerry to sing the song at the close of the telethon, and so he did. You think about what that would mean for a child stuck in a wheelchair to hear Jerry Lee Lewis, this superstar, sing, walk on with hope in your heart, you'll never walk alone. That's what our world is craving for. That's why they sing it at football games. That's why they sang it in South Africa at the end of apartheid. That's why they sing it at concerts. And here's the reality. It cannot be fulfilled in the world. Because the truth is that if you walk in this world without God, you will walk alone. There will be times that you'll go to the hospital by yourself, that you'll be at the funeral home by yourself, that you'll get in a car at the end of the cemetery, at the end of the funeral, and everyone else will go back to their lives, and you'll walk alone. You will never walk alone if you walk with Jesus. You will never walk alone. So here's our big idea today as we look at Exodus 23. Apart from the presence of God, imperfect people won't get alone. Apart from the presence of God, imperfect people will never get along. How many of you have been on a trip with family and somebody said, because they know the family, they've said, hey, you guys, now y'all don't get in a fight along the way. Because inevitably, we've had family members that just can't get along. We've had friends that can't get along. So here God, he promises Israel. Look back at Exodus 23 in the words that Clint read for us. Look at verse 20. He says, behold, he says, don't miss this. Behold, I send an angel, I send a messenger before you to guard you and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Now God knew something about the people of Israel. He knew that they were prone to enslave one another. He knew they were prone to treat each other harshly. He knew that they were prone to steal from one another. And now he says, I'm sending an angel so you'll get to the place where I am bringing you. Because I want you to come to this place that I have prepared for you. So we see this angel before them. Well, let's look at this. So he says, this angel, the purpose is to guard them and to bring them. And then he says in verse 21, he says, pay careful attention to him. Obey his voice. So the angel is with them and they have to obey what the angel says. When the angel says go this way, to go this way. Do not rebel against him. Why? Because he's not going to forgive you. There's going to be a cost to your rebellion and your disobedience. Verse 22. If you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. So who is this angel? That's what I want us to think about for a moment. Who is this angel? Because if you go back to verse 21, look at the end of verse 21. For my name is in him. Remember back in Exodus 3, when Moses asked the Lord, and if they say, who has sent me to you, what am I supposed to say? And in the flame of fire in the bush that's not consumed, God declares and reveals to Moses what hasn't been revealed in the previous years and time. And he says, my name is I Am. This is my covenant, my memorial name. And so now he's saying of this angel, my name is in him. So who is this angel? Well, some have said that he's the pillar of cloud and fire. Remember the pillar of cloud and fire that will go before the people of Israel? We've seen it back in Exodus chapter 14 when the Egyptian army is coming. And remember, the pillar of fire prevents the Egyptian army from attacking the people of Israel. So we've seen this pillar of cloud and fire before. But what's the problem? What's the problem with seeing this angel as the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire? Well, look back to what he just said in verse 21. Pay attention to his voice. And so there's this idea that the angel is personal. Clouds are not personal. I mean, we can be driving down the road, and like Charlie Brown, we can look at clouds and say, I think that looks like a whatever. But clouds are impersonal. Fire is impersonal. Well, okay, so if it's not a cloud, maybe it's a person. Because the word angel, look at it, the word angel in verse 20, behold, I send an angel. The word angel there means messenger. It means messenger in the New Testament. That's simply what an angel is a messenger, a divine messenger. So maybe, some have said, maybe the messenger is a human person. Maybe it's Moses. Has Moses communicated for God to the people? Yes, he's doing so right now. He did so at Sinai when he's giving the Ten Commandments. What's the problem with Moses? Moses doesn't bring the people to the place that God prepared for them. So is there another person? You say, well, Donald, yes, there is. Because if you look at Exodus 24, there's this young guy named Joshua. Joshua will be Moses' servant. God has already used Joshua to fight the Rephidim. And so maybe this is Joshua, because God will use Joshua to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. And what does Joshua's name mean? The Lord saves. Oh, so by the way, maybe what we have here is a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus. So when the Father says, behold, I will send an angel before you to guard you and bring you to the place I prepared, maybe what we have here is a pre-incarnate, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Jesus, Joshua's name in Greek is the word Yeshua. So maybe what this is pointing to is this is pointing to Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, God is saying, here is my son, hear his voice, and don't disobey him. And he'll bring you to the place that I promised. Or maybe it's simply an angel, Michael or Gabriel or some unnamed angel. I think it's a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus Christ, because he says, my name is in him. It's a part of who he is. Isn't that who Jesus is? And this is what Jesus does. So as I was thinking about this, and God saying to the people that I'm going to send an angel. You know, if I went out there and I had my microphone and I did a word on the street and began to talk, people would say that they may have had encounters with angels, because the book of Hebrews tells us that we may entertain angels unaware. And I thought back to something in my life. So rewind the tape to 1990, Lone Star Lake. And it was an outdoor encampment. And on Tuesday night, I said, okay, God, my life is yours. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. It was a powerful moment. That next day on Wednesday, I was going through the line. I was taking my tray. And this guy from the cafeteria, from all the trays, said, hey, you're that kid that came forward last night and committed his life to God's ministry. I didn't know who he was. I don't remember him beforehand. And I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I want to meet with you. Well, will you come and sit down with me? And so out of the blue, I was like, well, sure. I mean, here I was about this tall, maybe a little less round. I was amazed by him. So I went and sat with him, and he began to pour his heart. And he said, you're beginning a new journey, and I want you to be prepared for that journey. And I want to help you. And he gave me some things that he suggested that I do and things that I not do. And he prayed over me. And it was just this moment that I've never forgotten. And I would ask people that had worked at that camp, I would say, do you remember that guy? None of them ever did. Now, was that guy an angel? In my mind, you better believe it. Because at the very least, he was God's messenger. So he could have been an angelic figure or probably a man just like me. But I look forward to the day that I meet him in heaven again and I can say thank you. Because he started me on my journey well. I believe God had sent him to give me instructions. But you know what? We have someone greater than angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 says, having become as much superior to angels, much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. What does he say in verse 21? I've already pointed it several times. For my name is on him. The writer of Hebrews, Luke, says he has a name that he has inherited that is more excellent than theirs. We have someone who is with us then greater than angels. We don't need to be looking for angels around every corner or under every bush or in every office because we have the Spirit of Jesus within us. Jesus says in John 14, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. So here we have the angel going before the people of Israel with this warning, do not rebel against his voice. And we have the Spirit of God. In John 14, verse 16, when Jesus says, I will give you another helper, the word is parakletos in Greek. It literally means to be called alongside. You will never walk alone when you walk with the Spirit of Jesus inside of us, dwelling us. So I don't care how lonely you feel today. I don't care how exasperated your world seems. I don't care how bad your circumstances appear to be. You are not walking alone. We have someone greater than this promise that we see in Exodus 23. So we shouldn't read Exodus 23 and think, oh, it would be great if I was like Israel. We have someone who is greater than Israel. Because like Israel's angel, he's always present. He's always here. Jesus says he will be with you forever. He goes before us. In John chapter 13, at the end of John chapter 13, Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, where I'm going, you cannot go. And it immediately stirs up anxiety and hurt within the disciples so that Peter says, Lord, why can't we go with you? And in the reference to that, Jesus says, I am going before you to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. So he goes before us, he guides. Jesus says the Spirit will guide us into all truth and he will bring us. Remember the goal of the angel? Look at verse 20. I will send an angel before you to guard you and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Jesus said, I'm going to bring you to a place that I've prepared for you. And the Spirit bears the name of God. Be encouraged. Because you never walk alone when you walk with Jesus. Remember what we've been reading at the end of our services over the last couple of weeks. Matthew 28 and verse 20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So no matter how dark your world appears at times, no matter how lonely your journey seems, God is there. And so because God is with us, I think that means three things from the rest of this passage. Number one, we need to pay careful attention to divine directions. And then number two, we need to follow the Lord alone. And then number three, victory is certain despite struggles. Look at this. So he says in verse 22, if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, I will blot them out. I want you to notice something. He came to keep Israel on the straight and narrow because imperfect people can't get along apart from the presence of God. But I want you to notice, when the angel speaks, God speaks. Look at verse 22. But if you carefully obey his voice. So who's speaking? It's the angel speaking. But notice, and do all that I say. It doesn't say do all that the angel says, but he just said, if you'll obey the voice of the angel, and now he's saying, and do all that I say. So when the angel speaks, it's God speaking. And when the angel acts, it's God acting. Look at verse 23. When my angel goes before you and brings you, notice, I blot them out. So here are the angels going before, but it is God who is acting. Don't miss this. To listen to the angel is to listen to God. To rebel against the angel is to rebel against God. Like Israel's angel, Jesus speaks God's word to us. He says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, what I am about to say, you can take it to the bank. You can build your soul on it. And we know his voice. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So if you're a believer here today, you ought to be able to hear and discern the voice of Jesus. And you ought to be able to follow it and obey it because we ignore it to our peril. You think about what happens in the military or what happens in the Navy. If a soldier or a sailor or an airman does not obey the voice of his commanding officer, do they just shrug it and go, oh, well, that's okay. Privates can do what they want to do. No. It can mean the very end of their career. It could possibly mean the end of their life. It's no different with Jesus. We ignore him to our peril. And so if we're going to obey his voice, we have to read his word. So if you haven't picked up a soap card from the month of September, pick it up. You say, but Donald, I'm way far behind. Today is a new day. Start with today. Psalm 104, Jeremiah 38:39. You just start right there. But every day, you ought to be hearing the voice of God. Because why? Well, because notice what happens. He says in verse 24, you shall not bow down to their gods. Here, you're going to come into this foreign land, and you're going to be tempted with their gods, the ones that they've been serving and obey them. He says, don't you do as the world does around you. You shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars into pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your lives. Look down at the end of the passage. In verse 32, you shall make no covenant with them. You will make no agreement with them or with their gods. Verse 33, they shall not dwell in your land lest they make you sin against me. In other words, what God is saying to his people is, do not compromise. Do not compromise. We saw it illustrated in our world just recently. There was a professional athlete who got on national television, was going to be used in all of social media. And you know what the terrible thing that he encouraged people to do? He encouraged high school and middle school students to carry their Bibles to school. What a travesty. Some even responded and said, why is a professional athlete encouraging students to do what is unconstitutional? And I wanted to scream at my computer and say, it's a lie! It's a lie! There is no constitutional decree that says that you cannot take your Bible onto public property, whether you're a student or whether you're a teacher. But here he was shouted down by all the media and all the celebrities and all these groups. And I understand that he even compromised and said, well, I didn't know that group thought and felt these things. If I had known that they stood for God's standard of lifestyle, I would have never supported them. We live in a world that wants us to constantly compromise what we think. So here God says to the children of Israel, he gives them two commands. Do not worship false gods and destroy idols. It's the same for us. John Calvin said, our hearts are idol factories. We produce an idol every day. So we need to identify them and we need to remove them. You say, well, how do I know if it's an idol? It's anything that becomes ultimate, Tim Keller said. So good things can become God things. Are there anything wrong with having family days and doing certain activities? No, that's good for the families, but it should never take the place in the primacy of worship. Is there anything wrong with spending our money on a good meal? No, there's nothing wrong with spending your money on a good meal, but it should never take the place of what you ought to give God cheerfully as an obedient giver. Good things will try to become God things in our life, and we have to identify them and we have to remove them. We have to continually magnify or make much of Jesus with our lives and with our lips, because there'll be temptations to look to the gods of the lands. Things will look tough at times. It'll look appetizing and wonderful, even harmless, and you'll begin to give them the time you could have given and spent among God and His people. False gods are a trap. You know, sometimes we think, well, a little bit won't hurt. I'll just look at pornography this time. I won't do it again. I'm just lonely. I'm tired. I'm just sad. I just need this today. Or we'll say, it's not that much. I'm not taking that much from my employer. He won't even know that it's missing. Or I just drink occasionally. I just drink on the weekends. I mean, it's not like I get drunk during the week when I have to go to work and I have to go to school. It just happens on the weekends because my life is so stressful. Because I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm frightened, I'm so stressed. I just need to take a drink, even though I know that God wants to be my healer and my helper. I know that if I turned and opened God's Word, God would speak to me, but I just need to veg out in front of Netflix and watch 13 hours of Stranger Things. I'll serve Him tomorrow. I give every now and again. We give when we have the money, when we have it extra in our account. I'll serve Him next time. I know the pastor stood up here and said we need volunteers for next Sunday so that we can make it a great day of celebration of what God has done. But Donald, do you see my calendar? Do you see my activities? We've got this contest to go to. We have to go to the store and buy our groceries. We have to do this. I'll serve Him next time. Even though we know what Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life, to give His life as a ransom for many. If God is with us, then we should follow Him alone. Because victory is certain. We may have struggles, but look at what he says. He says, he will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from you. Now we need to notice something. What he says next, it applies specifically to the children of Israel. But we can look at the principles and we can know this. That when we're following God and God is with us, there is comfort and there is security. It reminded me, on my mom's refrigerator, there is a family circle. Anybody remember family circle? Family circle still out today? I mean, do we even get newspapers? She had it laminated because it became like the reminder for our family. And remember family circles, there's this cute, chubby kid that's got, you know, a gigantic pumpkin-sized head. And he's kneeling down in his bed and he's saying, God, would you please protect me and my family tonight? And in the next slide, there's this thought bubble that he says, I wonder if God really hears us when we pray. And outside of his house, what he cannot see is there's a police officer that is arresting this burglar who was attempting to break into his house. And he never knew it. What I can say to you today, church, is God delivers us from unknown peril constantly. You say, how do you know that, Donald? Because our world is dark and dangerous. If you look at this passage, the main figure, the one who deserves all the glory, all the attention, it's God. He says, I will take sickness. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror. I will make all your enemies. I will send hornets. I will not drive them out before you, but I will drive them out before you little by little. I will set your boundaries. I will give inhabitants. Here God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. It wasn't about what Israel was going to accomplish. It was what God is going to do. And there are so many places that I could take you, but I don't have time. But just to say to us today, what Paul says, what is it for us to do? Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. How can we get along in a world that is broken and imperfect with God inside of us? It's not about do I give the right amount. It's not if I read the right number of verses out of Leviticus or Numbers. It's not if I memorized all the list in 1 Chronicles. It's not if I gave every single dime. It's being strong in the Lord. And watching for Him and reading His Word and believing in His Word and trusting in His Word. It didn't happen in their lifetime. If you write down in your margins 1 Kings 4:21, it wasn't until the day of Solomon that their borders were extended as God had promised. But you know what? Today, if you'll but trust Jesus, you can walk on. You can walk on with hope in your heart because hope has a name and it's Jesus. And you will never walk alone because He walked to the cross. He walked the lonely road of Golgotha and He died alone on that tree and He was buried alone in the grave. But on the third day, He rose again to say to you and to me, you never walk alone. Let's pray. Am I talking to some people that you feel like you're walking alone today? You say, "Don, I don't know. I don't know if I can go." Would you just reach out your hand to Jesus? Would you just take Jesus at His word today and put the total control of your life in His hands? That means your home, your marriage, your kids, your work, your health. Would you do that today? Would you just say to Him, "Jesus, I trust that You're with us. I haven't been living like it. I haven't been obeying what You've called me to do. I've been doing things that You've told me not to do, but I stop today." It's what being a disciple is. If you've never taken that first step, I'd love to tell you how you can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ today. I'll be standing down here at the front. Christian, if you've been discouraged, if you've stopped walking with Jesus and you say, "I need to pick that back up, I need to start again," would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would give me strength and confidence? I'm going to be standing right here. Whatever the Holy Spirit has convicted your life with today, respond to Him. Respond to Him by faith. We're going to have just some time of quiet so that you can ask God how you should respond. And then Cole will lead us in a final song. And as he does, respond. Come talk to me. Come pray. You just be obedient. Pay careful attention to do what the voice of the Lord says. Yes.